Mike, turn your games down.
Hi, welcome to another mini episode of Games My Mom Found. I am Mike Hubbard, who's trapped in an Xbox Live Arcade game with me tonight.
My name is Nate McClellan, and I'm a comedian.
Welcome.
My name is Let's Play Princess Phoebe Stanton, and I'm totally slipping into the Twilight Zone right now.
I'm Michael Colby from Jack Billings Presents Haunted Apartment Complex, and you can't see it, but behind me is a corkboard with lots of little pieces of paper held together by red pieces of string, putting together all the Alan Wake lore.
And welcome, guys. We are here to talk about a game that I didn't even know I would ever cover in the show, but I think I might have mentioned it back when I did Alan Wake. But we are talking about Alan Wake's American Nightmare, developed by Remedy, published by Microsoft. Came out in 2012 originally for 360, then PC later on that year. And thankfully, it's not locked anything. And buyable. You can still buy this on Steam, thankfully.
And you should.
Absolutely should.
So I played this back in the day in 2012 when it came out, 2 years after Alan Wake. Alan Wake came out in 2010. And I remember being very upset with this game. I don't remember a whole lot. I just remember I was excited, and then I played it, and I'm just like, this doesn't answer my questions. I want to know more about the story, and I was very upset, and then I forgot about Alan Wake, and then Alan Wake 2 came out, and then here we are covering stuff from years ago because of that. Nate, what is your history with this game?
This is my first time playing it, despite playing Alan Wake around launch. And then I had a PS3 by the time this game came out, and my 360 had gone the way of the Red Ring of Death.
Okay. Phoebe.
Much like the initial game that this is a spinoff of, I bought this day of.
Okay. Mike.
Much like the original game, I bought this right away and didn't think much of it. And I sort of wrote off Remedy until I played Control. And then I went back and I am now obsessed with everything having to do with any Remedy game. I'm currently playing Max Payne.
Is there a way to play? Is it on Steam?
It's on Steam, yes.
It's also on PlayStation. I'm playing it on the PlayStation 5.
Oh, you've just given me something to do this week.
I'm not going to get into Max Payne. Let's just say that beware the platforming that's in Max Payne.
I mean, the only two achievements I'm missing in Alan Wake 1 are the DLCs, Defeat It Without Dying, because the platforming in Alan Wake 1 is atrocious.
Oh, man. That's not what we're here to talk about, but the platforming in the second DLC made me so angry.
I don't remember the DLC very well for Alan Wake. I just remember I was upset because I love Alan Wake 1, and I didn't get a conclusion to my story. And then I remember when this came out, I was excited for a conclusion. I didn't get my conclusion, and then I kind of just wrote off Alan Wake. I'm like, well, I'm never going to find out.
I have bad news about Alan Wake 2 for you.
I as long as they don't take them 12 years to make 3, I think I can get over it.
Yeah.
I remember when this came out, like, this is also Xbox Live was kind of a big thing in 2012.
Yeah,
this was like a big game when it came out for arcade.
Yes, I do remember liking this a lot more than I liked Alan Wake 1 because it's more fun to play. If Alan Wake 1 would have the gameplay of American Nightmare, it would be a top 10 game for me. I think where it sits now, I looked at I keep a list of all the games that I beat and like have them ranked. I think Alan Wake 1 is like 35 right now. And if it would have played a little bit, but if it would have played more like this, it would have bumped up probably 20 spots because this is much smoother and much more fun to play.
Okay. Normal with the hot takes there, my Voltron buddy. I love Alan Wake. I have absolutely zero problem with that game other than it ends on a cliffhanger and I did not get an answer to my cliffhanger. That's my only issue with that game.
Yeah.
Gameplay of this game is fine. But I didn't like the... Wait, did health not regenerate in the Alan Wake either? It's been a long time.
Not unless you're in the light, just like this.
Okay. I played Alan Wake. I've beaten it a few times, but the last time I played it was for this podcast, like episode 90-something, I think.
So like 40 years ago.
What it fucking feels like. I think it was, I know who was with me, but I can't place the timing. Like, I don't remember how many years ago it was, but I think it was 2021 or even 2020. So yeah, and we're in 20, at the time we're recording this is 2024, January. So I don't fucking remember. I had no problem with the gameplay in this. I didn't like that there wasn't enough story for me.
Yeah,
I lied. Alan Wake was episode 88. I released it back in September of 2020.
Wow. God. It's 4 years ago now.
It's getting there. Yeah.
That's 500 episodes ago.
I mean, right. I mean, you are exaggerating, but not completely.
Not too bad. It's like
that was also before 60
episodes.
I went gung-ho later on, some point after that. So, yes. But no, I mean, the gameplay was fine. I mean, I think the gameplay was fine either one. I mean, it's the same, pretty close to the same thing. I didn't recognize anything different in this game than Alan Wake. But then again, it's been 3 years. I don't remember anything.
Yeah, I sort of played this back to back with Alan Wake, the remake. And it's not like a huge overhaul, but everything just feels a little bit better. Like the aiming is a little bit better. It takes less time to burn off the darkness off of enemies.
Oh yeah.
It takes less shots to, you know, kill the enemies. It's just a little bit more less repetitive. It could be just because it's shorter, the maps are smaller, but the first one just feels like a slog because you're going through these big empty woods and, you know, meeting with these big groups of enemies. And it just feels like you're just doing that over and over again. And this has like a little bit more varied enemies. I think the dodging feels a little bit better, and just the weapon, just the different weapons that you have. It just seems like it's more to do. And it could be because the main thing in this game seems to be the arcade part, because the actual game is like 3 hours long. And then the arcade part is like six different maps, and it's like a time and score thing. So like it has almost infinite replayability. And I think that's why the combat feels better, because they're like, nobody's going to play this arcade mode if we make the combat feel slow like in the first one.
Originally, this game just was the arcade mode. That's what they made first. And then and then Sam Lake was the one that said, hey, we'll put a little story to it. But originally it was just that arcade horde mode thing.
I can see it at that point. And it would have been fine game if started. It was just that.
I mean, arcade games. I mean, that's what Xbox Live Arcade started off on, and then it just became more. But, I mean, it gave them the ability. I mean, because that's really before we got a lot of, like, the indie or just smaller games. I mean, that was the beginning of it. And, yes, this game is only 3 hours to beat.
Oh, yeah. Five and a half hours if you get lost.
It took you 5.5?
I have no sense of direction in video games, and there is just a really tiny mini map, and I got lost in the section where you had to turn the power on. Like, after turning the power on, I could not find the gate I needed to go through and just like wandered around.
Okay, that's fair, because it is a little confusing. I know what you're talking about. I got stuck on it once out of the three times I had to do it or so.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I YouTubed Alan Wake American Nightmare power generator part. Just like,
okay, I didn't get that bad. I got lost and went the wrong direction one turn around, and then in a minute I was out. But
it felt, yeah, I was asking Siri, I was like, please help. Apple Maps, please.
I didn't have any problem with the mini map in this game. Again, I played this on a Steam Deck, so it was shoved in my face the whole time. This is a great Steam Deck game, by the way, just to let those people know out there that don't care. It's a good Steam Deck game.
Hey, fun fact, I just ordered a Steam Deck yesterday while playing American Nightmare.
Welcome to a wonderful world.
I am so excited.
What size did you get for the Steam Deck?
Oh, I just got the 256 gig one.
Okay, that's larger than, yeah, that'll be better. Because I will tell you, when you can run Gotham Knights off a micro SD card, and you can run, fuck, what did I just get done? Meeting Guardians of the Galaxy on an SD card. Does it freeze and have issues? Yes, but it runs. So you won't have to do that. So you'll be happy.
Do you want to play either of those games? No.
Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy is fun.
They both are great.
I like Guardians.
Gotham Knights is a good game. Don't listen to Kobe.
I know. I like
Gotham Knights is a bad game, but I loved it. Guardians of the Galaxy is actually a really good game. So Gotham Knights is not a good game, but I fucking loved it.
All right, thank you for admitting that.
It's not a good game. It's got a lot of issues. But no, I had, yeah, I mean, Steam Deck is wonderful. I'm just going to say that right there. Steam Deck's fucking wonderful. Well worth it. You will enjoy it, Nate. And welcome to emulation being super easy.
Whoa, what's emulation?
One reason why people buy Steam Decks. Hey, Steam Deck can run Tears of the Kingdom. I won't do it, but it can run it, by the way.
Are there trophies? Are there achievements?
No, but it can run it. Not very well. It's getting better, but yeah, people have ran it and been like, yeah, you can play it on there. And I'm just like, yeah, that's a little too much piracy for me. But no, Alan Wake, American Nightmare.
Yeah.
I like it that it's a continuation of the story from the end of the first game where he's trapped in the darkness, except in this one, he's in a loop or a spiral, right? That's how it's supposed to be. But yeah. It's essentially that there's a doppelganger version of him that got out of the darkness, which is Mr. Scratch, was like an evil serial killer version of Alan Wake.
Oh, man. And he is brutal in this game. Like, I was playing this and I'm like, there's one point where he's like he's got a lady in a chair and he's like massaging her shoulders. And then he like grabs a knife and just slits her throat. And I'm like, this is a rated T for teen game. This is brutal.
People were not watching those because it's all optional. I mean, you'll see TVs. I did not watch all the TVs, by the way. I started them and I got tired of listening to them, so I just ran off.
Oh, you're missing out on much lore, Michael.
Oh, for sure.
It means nothing to me right now. In about 3 months or 4 months, whatever the hell timeline I have it set up, when I cover Alan Wake 2, I might care a lot more. But until then, I don't care. So, yeah, I'm not that interested yet.
I was, until I played Alan Wake 2 and everything and really got interested in sort of the Remedyverse, I also didn't care. But there is a lot of story packed into this. I don't want to say crappy like arcade game, but like it's not up to the snuff of any of Remedy's other stuff.
Well, yeah, this is just a side project they were doing.
Yeah, it's but like all the Scratch stuff, because you heard about Scratch in Alan Wake 1, but you didn't really know what he was all about. This is sort of the first time you really see what Scratch is up to, and Scratch is up to murders. He is up to brutal murder.
So Scratch is in the lore of this game, because I want to stick with that. I know you guys didn't answer the question. I do not want to know the answers to.
Yes.
He's in the real world, correct, in this game? Mr. Scratch.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. No? I know I shouldn't be asking too many questions, but like that's what it feels like when you're playing this game. We'll stick with that.
That
feels like he's in the real world. You're in the darkness and you were replaced by whatever evil entity was from the darkness replaced you. That's how I take it in the story.
That is what the game wants you to think.
Okay, we'll go with that. Yeah, so I don't want to know, because I have not played the Alan Wake Control DLC yet. I will be.
Neither am I, surprisingly enough.
Oh,
you will be also,
man.
By the way.
Oh, I can't wait.
There's another mini that we're talking about after we do Control. We got to get that back.
I can't wait.
Then Alan Wake 2 is coming later this year, too.
The way they word it in this specifically, the manuscript pages say, is there is another thin part of the world where realities merge together, much like Cauldron Lake, that is somewhere in Arizona. So Wake is still in the dark place, but he's leaking into reality because of this new soft spot.
And it's like near where one of the stories that he wrote for the show Night Springs, which is a Twilight Zone Twin Peaksy type of show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really funny hearing the Rod Serling sound alike as the narrator for this.
He's amazing. The voiceover is amazing in this.
I missed the guy from the radio station in the first Alan Wake, though. I really, really like that voice. For that actor.
Good. Yeah. Good voice.
I did not.
Good voice. But I love this announcer guy for Night Springs. I think it's just so fun because he's like doing the whole thing. He's doing the whole Twilight Zone thing. So it's like the champion of light, you know, does this and this. And he's like, I don't know. I found it very charming.
Yeah. Man, playing this game again after over a decade at this point, it is amazing how much this game seems to connect and influence Alan Wake 2.
And not just Alan Wake 2, but like well, when you play the Control DLC, but like all of that stuff. And it's like, did they have this planned out? Because it feels very like
fluid.
Like, yeah, like everything was planned out. So if they retrofitted the stuff from these, from the first game and all that stuff into Control and Alan Wake 2, they did an amazing job.
So there's I think it's on IGN's YouTube, but they, like, before Alan Wake 2 was announced, Sam Lake, like, or Remedy, I guess, showed off footage of, like, what Alan Wake 2 was going to look like for the Xbox 360. And, like, you know, he specifically references, like, oh, yeah, some of these ideas ended up in American Nightmare. So I could definitely see, like, how everything feels fluid because, like, these were plans that they had for a sequel that just never happened. So they just put it into this DLC.
Yeah. And at this point, what I'm kind of feeling like is we already know that we're going to talk about Alan Wake 2 for a little bit. There's a DLC already confirmed called Night's Brains. And I'm starting to get a feeling that it might just be a sequel to this.
I'm okay with that, too.
Yeah, I think I would be okay with that, too.
Again, my biggest issue was just the fact that this wasn't a sequel. And at the time, there was no real sequel being announced. And I was bummed because 360 was a time of sequels. We had Dead Space 1, 2, and 3. Like, we had so many trilogies in this game. I loved it. And just nothing. Just nothing.
Yeah, this, I mean, Alan Wake, not a huge, like, commercial success. It was like a cult classic. So just the fact that it got, you know, Control was popular enough that it let them make Alan Wake 2. So, yeah, like, everybody who played Alan Wake loved it, but I don't think enough people played it to get their 360 sequel because the 360 was also the era of, like, big, huge games.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, Dead Space and, like, Gears of War and Halo and all that stuff, those were all, like, huge games. And Alan Wake was not that. It was, like, a very niche but beloved game.
Okay, you say that, but I have three different Call of Juarez games or Juarez next to me. Oh. So, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, there he's right. I'm sitting there looking at my collection. I'm like, no, he's not.
Who published those Call of Juarez games, though?
I'd have to reach Techland? Or go on Google. Neither one I want to do. But
one of those was three. One of those was very good. I forget which one it is.
Is it the one where it's like, I don't know.
It's Bound in Blood is a good one, by the way.
I know that it was like this, like, gunslinger telling his story at a bar. So it was like really over the top because, like, he was exaggerating how great he was at doing this stuff. I think it was Gunslinger.
That's a different. That is not one of the three. That's an Xbox One game, if I remember correctly.
OK, well, what
are you talking about? Yes, I actually think I have.
Wait, how many games in this franchise are there? Because I thought there were like two. Sure.
There's four, according to Wikipedia.
Holy yes, shit. I think I own all four, too. Never played a single one, but I own it. And I probably own multiple copies of it, too, by the way. So I do that, unfortunately.
So, no, I mean, Alan Wake, American Nightmare.
So that was my biggest issue, that this game just felt like a letdown for me 2 years after the first one. But you guys are right. Like, maybe that, you know, just didn't sell well enough. And they were like, well, we're moving on to other things. Where I'm like, no, don't move on. But, like, the whole idea of this game is that you start off and you're in this, like you said, Arizona, I guess, episode of Night Springs, and he's trying to start putting pieces back together. I did find it interesting in each one, he just runs into one woman, and I feel like the only person living in these areas.
I have a theory about the whole game that we'll get to after we get to sort of the, like, what the game actually is. But I have a theory about what's going on with these three women.
Oh, Colby, I love you so much.
I like the fact that there's these three women in here. I think that's interesting how they're all very different type characters. A third one gets a little problematic because it's essentially, maybe not problematic. It's just that it's hinting on sexual assault and stuff. And yeah, but again, it's talking about the villain, not you.
Somebody got mind broken.
Yeah.
They're kind of terrifying.
When I'm not a fan of, like, sexual assault and that kind of thing in any medium, really, but when you are trying to build up this villain as, like, a bad dude, I think that is one of the ways that you can really drive it home. And again, This game was rated T for teen. If it was a rated M game, I think I would have been a little bit more comfortable with some of the stuff that Scratch does.
Well, think about where this franchise initially came from. It's an homage to Twin Peaks, and that definitely feels like something that Killer Bob would do.
Also true, yeah. Scratch is very Bob-like.
I have watched Twin Peaks season one, but that's it.
Oh, Michael, you didn't get into the crazy
bit. That's the best season. All you need to watch.
It totally is. Season two is great. The Return is also great.
That's what I've heard, but I remember I watched season one, I was watching season two, and I'm like, this is stupid, and I just fell off it.
I will fight you on The Return being great. The Return is what it looks like if David Lynch stuck a camera up his butthole. Like,
everything he does.
It is so obtuse and nothing. And I just feel like he wasn't interested in actually telling a story. He was like, oh, people like the weird. And that's what it was. And well, I was like, we liked the weird with the story.
Yes. The Return is when they let David Lynch do a thing without Mark Frost. Is that?
Yeah, that's
He's the one who kept everything grounded as much as he could. But yeah, The Return is David Lynch, I think, boiled down to his essence. And it's also like Alan Wake American Nightmare and Alan Wake 2. It has the hints of story stuff, but you're not going to get a satisfying ending if that's what you're looking for.
It is. I might have to send you a video. I like my fiction to have endings in general. Well, I'm okay with trilogies. I'm okay with series, but I want to know that, like, I don't have to wait 12 years.
And I think that Alan Wake will have that, because I think at this point, Remedy is a name in the industry. And as far as I can tell, they've never made a bad game. So, I think they're going to keep up with the quality of their games, and that will allow them to make a lot of games in the future. And if they're putting everything together with Control, and I'm sort of hoping to get an Alex Casey standalone game where he's like a hard-boiled detective and there's bullet time, but that's my pitch for another day.
It's like, you do have that. It's called Max Payne.
I know, but I want a new one with better controls, because now that I'm playing Max Payne, I don't really want to be playing Max Payne.
That's because you're playing a PS2 style game. So.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that comes a whole nother plant, you know, can of worms and bullshit.
And that was from back in the day when they were making PC games. So I have a feeling that if I was playing it with mouse and keyboard, I would be having a much nicer time than playing it with a controller, because I think that's where the problems come from with the platforming. But that is not what we're here to talk
about. No, I think it's just the game itself. But yeah. It's like when you put platforming in games where it shouldn't be. Thank God this game didn't have any platforming, though. American Nightmare.
Nope.
And I hate when games that shouldn't have platforming have platforming. I will die on that hill. If you are a first person shooter with no double jump, I do not want to be platforming. Do not put that in your game.
There's only one good game with first person platforming, and that's Titanfall 2.
Fair. Okay. Can't say Star Wars Dark Forces because it's miserable. I did like how this game does take place in three different areas. You have like the little diner town, or a little like town with a motel, and the mechanic. I like that. And then the second one is the observation tower.
Observatory.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. And the third one is the drive-in theater.
The drive-in theater is amazing. Like, it, not because of the game part, because the game part in the drive-in, I also got lost. I think I know what you're talking about. Like, at first I was like, what are they talking about? But then I was like, oh no, wait a second. It's when you have to like sort of go into a barn and turn the power on, and then you leave and there's like a closed door.
Yeah,
over on he's the right.
It is a little confusing.
It's so confusing. I did get lost the first time. It wasn't for quite 2 hours, but I did get lost there. But there's so much lore stuff in that drive-in. Like, did anybody turn on the arcade game?
Yeah, inside
the building.
Yeah, I turned it on and I watched it and for like a little bit, and then I was like, oh, this must just be nothing. And
it's
one of their first games.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's their first game. Death Rally is their first game. It's a top-down battle driving game. It's not a great game, but it has a bunch of like items and stuff, and there's written descriptions. The descriptions written by Sam Lake. You get messages from a dead poet named True Tom in the game Death Rally.
Okay, that doesn't mean anything.
It like in the original game?
In the original game. And they did a remake, and in the remake, you can be Barry.
Oh my god.
You can buy Death Rally on Windows, by the way, too, right, if you wanted to.
It's free on the original is free on Steam, and the remake is like really $10. It's funny
that this small middle of nowhere desert town in America is holding a film festival with such amazing movies as Ham, a documentary, and Samurai versus Conquistador 2, The Return of Conquistador.
He's right. I just found the original one, and I found the I found the remake from 2012.
Yep, and
that's cool.
Thomas Zane, the poet from the first Alan Wake. There's theories that this is the same guy from Death Rally. I'm not gonna get into that. Let me take the pins off of those two things so that I don't talk about that. right now.
Please don't. Because there are things I just can't. God, yeah, they were just, yeah, they made this in 2012 and they didn't make another game until Quantum Break in 2016, which I still have yet to play.
Quantum Break is very good. I enjoyed it a lot. It also has an Alan Wake thing in it, which does the thing with Alex Casey and his partner, like looking at a wall and drinking coffee at the same time. It's not. Why am I blanking on her name?
Saga.
It's not Saga, but it has a bunch of Alan Wake 2 tropes in that little teaser that's in Quantum Break. Everything is connected.
Yeah, to the point that Quantum Break is and isn't canon in this universe.
Yeah,
I mean, this game is considered canon. We were debating this back when we first put it, we started talking about this, that it wasn't canon. That's how this ended up on the show. There's a whole conversation.
Well, more like other side tangent. Quantum Break is owned by Microsoft.
Yeah, that's the problem.
But they put the main character, main villain in Alan Wake 2, but they just didn't call it the main character, main villain.
Yep. And
kind of like how it's absolutely Max Payne, but his name is Alex Casey.
Yep. And in control, there's one of the pictures of Jesse Faden that they're taking. It looks like she's meeting Beth, who is a side character played by the same person who plays Jesse in Control. There's a picture of the two of them together.
I mean, it makes sense when you have different ownerships and other issues. Like, I'm assuming this game wasn't available for a while on digital marketplaces because of licensing music. I'm assuming.
Well, it wasn't the music. It was Microsoft.
It would still be on the Xbox store, so you can play on Xbox One.
Yeah. Remedy bought back the rights to Alan Wake from Microsoft, which I'm hoping they do for Quantum Break. I can't imagine that they would be like too expensive, and maybe buy the Max Payne IP back from Rockstar and just erase that terrible third game from
it's a fun game,
but they messed my boy up so bad. The gameplay is great in that, but they rockstarred a Remedy game up, and it made me very mad.
And we just had another person that just joined us.
Okay, who wrote me into the story?
This is
Joe Butler, and Alan Wake and Aqua say hi.
Welcome. As I asked earlier, what is your history with Alan Wake American Nightmare?
I loved Alan Wake. I played the first one when it came out at a friend's house. It's one of the IPs where it was an Xbox exclusive, so everyone, you know, Dead Space and everything else like that was really into it. And I didn't play this till, I think I was with my partner, because I don't remember what year this came out.
This is 2012.
Okay, yeah, so I probably played this a year after it came out, because I think my partner owned it, and I played it on his Xbox, and that was like the last year Xbox was 360 was even out, because the Xbox One came out the next year after that, 2013, 2014?
Yeah, that's
Xbox One. That sounds right.
God, is that old?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, my
Xbox One is a decade old, baby.
time is marching on, man.
I know, I mean, I just bought a PS5, but I already know that's already 3 years old.
Yeah, that thing's been out for so long.
Yeah. No, it hasn't. It didn't exist until last year.
It was out in 2020. It wasn't a thing.
Yeah, barely existed until last year.
Time does keep marching on. God. Okay, that makes more sense. I was just curious why this, like, if this, what was going on with this game? Because I know Alan Wake 1 was pulled for a while because of music.
Well, that
on digital shores, door shelves.
That's the other issue too. Is excuse me. Is they didn't they make this because they were like straight up like, yeah, we don't even know if we're going to be allowed to make a sequel like anytime soon. And that's kind of why some people argue if this is canon to Alan Wake 2, which it kind of is.
It's considered canon per Google when I looked it up per Remedy. So,
yeah, did say it was part. And I also have a theory about why it is canon. But we'll get into that.
What later. I had heard, do not comment on this, is that this is just one of the examples of him trying to break free from the darkness. What the internet told me, and I stopped my ass reading right after that. I'm like, we're good. Put it down. Too much time has passed. We can't read.
Well, that, so, yes, part of the spot. I mean, loop.
There. So I was looking into why this was like made, I guess. And I guess I found two things. One was that in the 2010s, Microsoft was more interested in live service games. So they weren't interested in like Alan Wake 2, you know? So then they just kind of made this. And two, did you guys know that Alan Wake is one of the most pirated games on the 360?
I did not know that.
Yeah, apparently the pirated version has Alan Wake with an eye patch if you pirate it.
Whoa.
Like, that's amazing.
Like, why is this the most pirated game?
When will that be
games?
Made canon?
Right.
That is so cool. Now, God, my Xbox that was modded just red ringed. I can't even get the pirated copy anymore.
I'm sure you can find it on somewhere else.
Damn it.
I like when they do shit like that, though. Like, here, we know you're going to, but here's a little thing because you did.
Yeah, but that could be why, you know, this kind of came into fruition and where that whole murky, is it canon, is it not canon, exists.
Well, the other thing that I think is weird is, I don't know, maybe they do say it in Alan Wake 2, I'll probably Google it later, is that he says the reason why it's happening is because he used to be a writer for Night Springs. Is that canon as well?
That was his canon first
back in the first game.
They did say that his first writing job was like his first paid writing job was for Night Springs.
And I think in this game, one of the manuscripts says like working on Night Springs helped hone his craft to write crime thrillers.
Yep.
I mean, in this whole little arcade game does feel like it could have been an episode of Twilight Zone, which again is a reference, you know, essentially what it is trying to go for. It does feel like that. It has that whole element of it.
It also plays better than the original Alan Wake. It probably plays the same way the remake does.
Nope, it doesn't. No. I wish it did, but you are correct, Joe. Thank you for pointing it out because nobody else believed me when I said that it plays better.
I just didn't experience anything. I mean,
the dodge in this game is way better than in Alan Wake 1 and even in Alan Wake 2. Like, I don't know what it is.
It's so nice that the battery refills.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
I didn't like that.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I didn't like that. And it's weird. Really, I mean, I like everything easier in life.
They
and
start you off 10 batteries.
I know, it bothered me.
9.
It bothered me. I didn't need batteries. I was like, this is taken away from it. And then the ammo boxes were like unlimited. That also kind of took away from me, too.
Yep, it just tops everything off.
Mike, you're going to love Alan Wake, too.
Well, I know, which, again, you heard me talking the show many times at this point. I don't like when stuff is hard, but for some reason, it bothered me that it was easier, and I don't know why. But I think Alan Wake is, like, honestly probably one of my favorite games 360 area, period. Like, I love fucking Alan Wake 1.
It's not. I think they realize that Alan Wake 1 wasn't a survival horror game, so they didn't have to try to limit your resources like it was a survival horror game. So they just said, you know what, just have fun. And that's what this game is. It's Alan Wake but fun.
Ooh, that's a hot take. I don't like that take.
do you think that those gameplay changes came about because they developed the arcade mode first?
Yes. That's
and then
what
they said, oh well, we can't like change the, you know, like how it plays drastically, because then like we're gonna have to like create two different combat systems.
from I found on IGN, there was like a little thing where they talked to the lead developer of this game before it came out. And he made comments like that where he's like, yeah, we had to make the combat more fun since this is just a combat game mostly.
Now y'all want to see something absolutely fucking terrifying. Go look up the Alan Wake 2 beta where like it's basically just this for like, I think I want to say it's like Xbox One. And it's a completely different model. I think he's still modeled after the original voice actor, but he's just wearing like a leather jacket. But it was supposed to take place not in like, because New Alan Wake 2, it's kind of New York. In this one, it's kind of like the same thing where it's like, it's a small town, but it's not like a small of a town as it is in this. It's like maybe like a 10 or 100,000 people town. And it even has the same enemies too, where like the first enemy introduced in that is like a guy where it's like a bunch of shadows fused together to make a big guy. And then you also still see those other enemies, the ones that like are birds and they turn to a person.
Oh, I hate birds in Alan Wake. Oh,
I did not like the birds coming into a guy. That just bothered me.
At some point, Alan Wake does say like something like, oh, God, birds or something like that. And I was saying exactly the same thing at the same time. I was like, fuck. I can't believe I have to deal with fucking birds again.
I have a random question that maybe Joe can answer now that he's here. So is it just me, or when you were playing this game and you're in the desert town and you just started thinking of Parasite Eve 2 for no reason at all?
Oh, you mean the part where like you're in the town and it's like, I hate being in this hobunk town, and they give you a Coca-Cola keychain to like unlock a door or something?
Yes.
Parasite Eve 2 sounds cool.
Parasite Eve 2 is garbage. Don't play it.
Parasite 2.
What?
Fuck that game.
Parasite 2 has the same issue that what is that Alan, or not Alan Wake? What is that David Cage game? Fahrenheit. It's also called something else.
Oh, Indigo Prophecy.
Prophecy.
It has the same issue as Indigo Prophecy, where the game fucking shits the fan at like halfway through.
That's every David Cage game. Thank you.
No.
Parasite Eve 2 is just bad, okay? It's not shit halfway half the game. It starts off and just a turd right there when you start playing it.
Maybe so. Someday they'll make a third one.
Hey, Third Birthday is a better game than Parasite Eve 2, okay?
I will fight you, Mike.
I will pay money to watch that fight.
Hang on, I think I heard somebody start to defend a David Cage game. Can I get that real quick? Can I get that clean?
I think Detroit Become Human's fine, and I also, because I have a firm belief that he ghostwrites most of these games. And by that is he has most of the staff make it, and then he slaps his name on it.
That's probably accurate, yes.
Heavy Rain is not that
garbage.
Bad, too.
Heavy Rain is an absolute piece of shit.
Heavy Rain is fine.
Alan Wake, right?
I covered that game twice.
So one thing like about this game is you also get manuscripts to get weapon upgrades, and it's fine because you always go to the same three places. Why you go to the same three places three times anyway, so.
You know what?
Why would you ever switch from the carbine rifle?
Like, I did, I think.
Really? Sniper rifle.
Oh man, I was like, wow. The carbine was like one-shotting basic and two-shotting big guys, and then 10-shotting the chainsaw men.
I switched to whatever gun I got next with the more manuscript, whether or not I liked it more. If it cost more to get it, I went with that gun.
I'm a shotgun guy in all of these games.
Speaking of enemies, real quick, those spiders are like one of the scariest spiders I've ever seen in a video game.
But they're
like
so
next
weak. It's
next
a
to Skyrim.
Shot from an Uzi.
But yeah. Nate is right. They are fucking terrifying.
Scary. Like,
they're scary.
I don't have an issue with spiders normally.
They're scary looking, and there's a lot of them.
Yes. But you can run from them, though. If you just start running for your life, you will get by them.
It is way more fun to explode them, though.
I did, but...
If we're talking about enemy design, I have to point out the fact that when the dark presence takes over somebody and they become a Taken, they don't mutate or anything. It's still a normal person. But you have these 8-foot-tall hulking abominations. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to wonder if The Hills Have Eyes is canon to the Alan Wake universe.
I mean, well, to be fair, he's not in reality either. So, in this.
Except it is superimposed over some weird town in Arizona.
Mm. Well, yeah, the town in Parasite Eve 2 where they had mitochondria mutants. I'll go with it.
Yes.
Have you played Parasite Eve 2, Phoebe?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't like it. Oh, what the hell?
I played all three of them on the PSP, and I played the first one. I was like, this is a perfect game. And then I played the second one. I'm like, this is not as perfect. It's pretty goddamn good, though. And then I played three, and I went, oh.
I thought you had good taste. God.
Alan Wake is a Parasite Eve game.
Hey, the closest we'll get to ones, and we ain't getting any more, so. But hey, it did have a hot blonde in this game too, in the gas station place. I do like how the women are like, "You were already here and you're a piece of shit." And he's like, "It's not me, it's the guy that looks like me." And I'm just like, "That shouldn't work, but I'll take it.
And then they all just automatically believe him with like no pushback. They're like, he's like, "Oh no, that guy just looks like me." And they're like, "Oh, of course. You're much more charming and handsome and smooth talking and wonderful and perfect. I believe you," which goes to my theories about the women, and which we'll get to later.
Can I make a guess on it?
The exception of the scientist, where she's like, "That's the excuse you're going with, is that that was somebody else that looks like you."
Yeah, but then two lines of dialogue later, she's like, "Oh yeah, you're right. You're much better than that."
To be fair, none of this is real, so it's okay.
I want to hear Phoebe's theory. What's your theory?
I'm thinking that Michael is going to say that they're all facets of Alice.
I didn't think that before, but I can see that. I just think because American Nightmare takes place not too long after the original Alan Wake, so he hasn't been in the dark place for long. And even though Zane told him, you know, "You can't half-ass this, or you're not going to be able to get out of here," it feels like he's trying to half-ass it. Like he's trying to do the least amount of work possible to get out of the dark place, because these three women are as hacky writer shit that you can get. Like, this is like, oh, you know, three hot women, a blonde, a redhead, and a brunette, just like whatever, who love the protagonist as soon as they meet him, even though, you know, the bad guy who looks just like him fucked each of them up pretty bad. I think it's just him trying to get out of the dark place as easily as he can, just trying to get out. And it's so early, he doesn't have like the experience that he has in 2, you know, 13 years later.
I have 2 points to make about that. One, it has been 2 years in the quote unquote real world in the Alan Wake universe, because Barry's already managing the old gods of Asgard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the dark place is a really fucked up place, like weird time stream thing. So who knows how long it has been for Alan.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 is the fact, oh my God, I already lost it. What the fuck?
So did Alan. It's okay.
I have something that I can backpedal off both the things you're saying.
Please.
I do think that it is the darkness in a low way being like, "Hey, look, these are women you like, right?" Because I think, what is it? Two of them have ponytails and glasses, which is a weird thing to be into. But it's also Alan Wake, so nothing surprises me.
True.
And the other one is blonde. So blonde and ponytail is what Alice is. So I also have this thing where I think the darkness, besides it being incoherently evil, it's also trying to give Alan kind of what he wants. So it's like, look, oh, there's 3 different women here that have 3 different things that from your wife. Just pick one and be distracted for a little while. I don't give a shit.
Well, his wife doesn't have a ponytail in Alan Wake 1.
She doesn't?
No.
No.
Shit.
I
don't want to know anything about it if it involves the number 2 in the, it. The we girl ain't going there. But
the girl in the starting area, the motel, she says that she's, you know, "Oh, I remember this time." And that's the first time you meet her. She's like, "Oh, I remember this," and yada, yada, blah, blah. As if she's not just met Scratch before, but she's met Alan before, because he doesn't have to introduce himself to her.
Yes.
So we might be seeing already a middle point of this loop when we start the game, and this is the first level. Mm. God only knows how many times he's already been through this.
The whole idea of this game is that it's just one of those attempts is all I could was willing to look online when I was looking up stuff, because too much time had passed and 2 exists, so I can't look up a lot.
I think one of the other things too that I like that you find that in a manuscript, because at some point I just started skipping them because they're kind of goofy and, you know, Alan Wake's a horrible writer.
I didn't read them. I just
But Phoebe knows about it. We joke back and forth about it, but I do think one of the manuscripts that he says where he's like, "I wrote the most comfiest thing I could think of that I'm wearing," because apparently like him and Alice were going to a party and she told him to get like dressed up. And so he decided to put on jeans, a T-shirt, and like that button down with the sleeves rolled up. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. That's comfy.
And it's professional enough. It's professional fancy enough to get your wife to agree with it. I know for a fact. So It's better than when you wear Marvel t-shirts all the time. So, hey,
you can get your wife to agree that a flannel and a white t-shirt are fancy enough.
Yeah, I could. As a guy who wears nothing but video game and Marvel shirts, she would take that in a heartbeat over Marvel shirts.
If I went somewhere with her friends. Yes. Don't forget the belt buckle. That is essential to the drip. All right.
Because that's how I, well, right now I'm wearing a Baby Yoda shirt, but yes.
It was very weird to see clean cut Alan wearing with like short hair and just a little bit of scruff.
But that's what he looks like now, like one.
Oh, that's not what he looks like now, like one.
But then when you get into later stuff, that is not how he looks any longer.
Is there a reason for that?
Come out. Yeah, at the time of this.
A reason for him looking all scruffly and scraggly and long hair and beard.
if you want to be technical about it, because it's not a spoiler, in the Video Game Awards, they do show that the face actor for Alan Wake 2 is not the same voice actor because the voice actor for Alan Wake is almost looks the same, but is different.
Did they change voice actors?
The voice actor, no, he's the guy who plays, you didn't play Control yet. No.
I played, you'll see in Control, but
yeah, he's in Control as well.
As I say, but if you've ever seen Robin Hood Men in Tights, it's the guy with like 1,000 knives.
It's been a long time, but yes.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I mean nothing to me anymore.
We were just talking about Robin Hood Men in Tights literally today.
Good movie. The weapon, having more weapons was nice. The UI feels good in this game. Like, we were talking a little earlier about the TVs, like with Mr. Scratch. I tried to pay attention to those. I just couldn't. They were just boring me. I know I'm missing a lot of lore by not paying attention to those.
You also are missing a lot of brutality. Like, he has a guy tied up in a chair with a bag on his head, and he beats him to death.
Yeah,
like,
that's when I stopped.
It's pretty brutal. They really do a good job at showing what Scratch is and what his sort of plan is. And he's not fucking around. He's like, look, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make the people that you love trust me. And then I'm going to do this to them. And Alan can do nothing about it.
The stuff with Barry is cool, that it does show Barry and he's still wearing that orange jacket, which amuses me. But like,
I love working Barry.
For the old, you know, he's the manager now for the old gods of Asgard. Like, that stuff is interesting. Like, it does some really cool elements. I did like that, like that you get to see, but it never really says how much time has passed since Alan Wake 1. It just says Alan is missing.
Oh, the manuscripts confirm it's 2 years.
Oh, they do? Yeah. Okay. And then also his wife is in the real world now, right? Like, he did save her at the end of Alan Wake 1.
Yeah, sort of.
I don't. Okay. Like, in this game, that's we'll what it looks there. Like.
In this game, yes. She's
okay, that's all I need to know. Like, we're not talking. Damn it. I should have recorded this before.
No, I mean, in this game, that's also, I'm not entirely sure what is confirmed or unconfirmed, because even the ending goes, maybe this was just a figment of Alan's imagination. Uh-huh.
And the ending is obviously a figment of imagination.
Knows? Who fucking cares?
That's also
what pissed me off. When I beat this game originally, I'm like, this isn't real. I'm like, this is stupid.
The ending is what gave me the theory, because the ending is like the hackiest, like, Deus Ex Machina ending that you could possibly come up with. And that's why I'm thinking, and again, Alan's not a great writer, so it could have taken him 2 years to write this horrible script to try to get out of the dark place.
I can neither confirm nor deny how long it takes some writers to write a single story.
Well, ask George R. R. Martin, how long does it take to write a fifth book in your sixth book in your series?
Well, if you're not a terrible writer writing Deus Ex Machina endings and like terrible, like stereotype, you know, beautiful women teaching you what to do, like, it's going to take you longer than 2 years.
That the third woman, that one's, I think, the most interesting when she's been like possessed by Mr. Scratch, and like that whole stuff, like how it's very weird. But I'm like, this, it's just, it gives you a lot more about how evil the character is.
There's an achievement to where if you can go back, you don't have to go back and turn the lights on for her, but I do every time and get achievement for it.
That's cool.
You don't have to turn the lights back on.
Nope. On the third time, whenever Alan gets there, he's already at the power plant. He goes, all I gotta do is go turn the power plant on and then go turn the projector on. Because he's like, when I turn the projector on, everything will turn back on and everything will end. So I'm not worried about going to go save that one chick.
Hmm. That's also sounds like Alan. I don't think Alan's as great of a guy as
no,
as because like he's, you know, he's the guy we're playing as, and he's up against Scratch, who is a nasty character. So like, I think he looks a little bit better than he actually is, which also,
well, they
in later they, stuff.
Yeah, they also say too that isn't Scratch supposed to be like his, because I think they say in this game Scratch is supposed to be like his also bad tendencies too, because like didn't he used to like, which always is weird to me as well, because they're like, oh yeah, Alan likes to go out and party and do cocaine, and I'm like looking at this fucking nerd and I'm like, this motherfucker, really?
Yeah, that's always in canon.
Yeah, I mean, and him and Barry, like in one of the chapters is them coming back from a bender, like it happened, like even Barry's out there doing cocaine, and he's also a huge nerd who wears Christmas lights all over
and his flaming eye of Mordor, don't you ever forget about that.
I love Alan Wake 1 so much.
It's the best.
The story and, like, yeah, the characters in Alan Wake 1 are amazing. Fantastic. Yeah.
So I played the opening for Alan Wake for my partner, and we were doing the opening, and it's the part where it's like, we got past the first chapter, but it's the part where he's, I think it's like, oh, Alan, while we're here, can we go see the psychiatrist? And they get in the fight, and the lights turn off, and my partner goes, wait a minute. Are you telling me this bitch brought him down here for a vacation and lied to him and then didn't say they were going to go see a psychiatrist? I was like, yeah. He goes, man, fuck her. No wonder she's fucking kidnapped this whole fucking game. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
I need to replay Alan Wake 1 now.
And then Hartman turned out to be the biggest prick in all of history.
Oh, you have no idea how bad Hartman is.
I know how bad Hartman is. I
feel like I need to take
my
earbuds out here in a second, but I also have to add this. So that wouldn't help me anyway. So yeah, let's not go there.
No, it's fine. It's just from the first game. It's whatever. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay, as long as it's from the first game, that's fine.
It's fine.
I love it.
Believe you guys, but I'll go with it. It's fine. All
it's,
right.
Well,
it's,
let me say,
not it's talking about is the music in this game, because did anybody else find it unsettling when he pulls down a satellite and for some reason the Tony Hawk Pro Skater soundtrack starts playing?
See, I can't relate to that because I've never played those games, but I enjoyed the music.
Have you never pulled a satellite down out of space to your reality, Mike?
Well,
I had sound on for this game, actually, most of the time.
He has to put that CD in. I couldn't tell you what the name of that band is. I've heard that song a billion times. I can't tell you who did it or what the name of the song is.
It's Kasabian. I believe they say it in a manuscript.
But you have to read the manuscript.
I was wondering if that was the name of the band, because, yeah, that is in a manuscript.
Yeah, like it says the Kasabian CD was playing on the boombox.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The stuff with the reality, like the whole idea that you're trying to bend reality and you had to, like, look at the manuscript and copy it. That was kind of, I like that. I thought that was a cool idea.
I have a soft spot for time loop games. I'm on record saying the only Zelda game that I like is Majora's Mask. And like, there's a lot of games that came after that that use that time loop very effectively. And I'm a sucker for that. I think that's part of the reason why I liked playing this as much as I did. Like, I understand that this is not like the Alan Wake experience that you're looking for, but it is a time loop game and it's fun to play. The controls are good. The dodge is great. The weapons are fun. The enemies are more varied, and I really enjoyed playing this game.
Okay.
I was going to say, you didn't see it, Mike, cause it was a TV thing, but there's a TV portion where Mr. Scratch is talking in a hotel room and there's a party going on next door. And he's just like, he talks to you and then he's like, oh my God, they're so annoying. And I was like, bro, I feel that. Like, that is annoying.
I saw part of that. I watched a few, but then they took too long. You see, like, the way I wanted, when there's stuff like that, I wanted to keep playing where I can go kill enemies and still have it playing and get the story without having to be, I can do my own thing.
Welcome to playing a Remedy game. Where you have to stop the action to watch a movie.
I mean,
those movies are like really engaging. Like, Michael, you brought it up earlier about the one where he's giving the lady a massage and then he mm-hmm. slits her throat. Mm-hmm. Like at the end of that, it's like, you're like, oh my God, this guy is insane. And then he just sits down next to her and uh-huh. watches the TV with uh-huh. her. And it's like, what the fuck, dude? Like they're really engaging to watch, you know? Yeah. And like every time I saw one, I was like, ooh, what is Mr. Scratch up to today?
It's going to be really interesting when we get to Control and see who skips over the videos.
And maybe I won't be able to then, huh?
No, if you do, if you skip over some of those videos in Control, oh, I'm going to be mad at you.
Those Dr. Darling movies and the Threshold Kids stuff is like so important to the plot of that
game. I'm so glad that you named the two things that I was specifically thinking about.
If you skip the Threshold Kids videos, not only are you missing out on a lot of lore, you're missing out on literally the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah,
okay. You know, I won't skip it when we play Control. I was kind of in a rush for this too, just because of the nature of what I am doing.
Yeah,
no, there was that too.
I put all other games on hold. Phoebe, Joe, and I, and Nate, if he wants to, will take over the podcast for a month and just play Control.
Yeah.
I don't think Control will take me that long, so it's okay.
I don't want to play that game for a month.
I have a really bad one that I can tell y'all, and I don't even think I told Phoebe, because I know if I told Phoebe, she's going to yell at me.
Uh-oh.
Speaking of skipping videos, in Alan Wake 2, I totally didn't watch the ending of Jotunheim, so...
What the fuck is that?
Oh my God.
I was in a hurry! It was already... It was already Halloween!
Not to get ahead of ourselves, I sat and watched that whole thing because I was like, what if I can't watch it later? Like... Oh, I know, but I was like, I don't want to. I was Aerosmith, you know? I didn't want to miss a thing, baby.
It is in Gross. The YouTube video on my channel with no commentary. Like, the episode where I'm doing that level of Alan Wake 2, for the 15 minutes that Jotunheim is playing, it's just fucking dead silence except for the movie.
But it's also a part where, like, you were in there earlier and they're enemies, and I was like, I don't want to get fucking butt attacked in here, so I'm just going to leave.
The American Nightmare.
Oh, did anybody try the mess with the hard mode stuff?
Back in the day, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're the only achievements I'm missing.
Oh, I played it for this because I wanted to make sure that I had everything taken care of. But there's no lore, so I don't really care. But yeah, I played the hard modes and they're fine.
I tried one and then I couldn't even make it through the whole day. And I was like, well, we're done.
I just like how they made like maps for that. Like it's not just stuff from Alan Wake and American Nightmare. It may have been stuff that they made in case American Nightmare was supposed to be 2, but since it wasn't, like, whatever, but they are fun maps to play horde modes in. Like, they feel like they were designed for that type of gameplay, which was nice. Because the gameplay is fun in American Nightmare.
Yeah, my problem with the hard mode is I ran out of ammo, and then I just died.
How could you run out of ammo? It's so easy to replace the ammo, Mike.
I know, but it doesn't... I don't know, I ran out of ammo, and I was like, well, here, we got a problem here. I did, though.
Those boxes do refill through the night. Like
But not if you're dead. Oh, that was part of the problem.
Well, then get better at video games, Michael.
I'm not good at video games.
Yeah, this game is a lot easier than Alan Wake 1.
It's so much easier.
I only tried one because I didn't mess with the hard mode until after I beat the game. I tried the cemetery, and I was just like, I'm also not big into stuff like that. I don't like just trying to go for a high score. That is not my way of playing video games.
Mm. I will say that the cemetery is the best level for that. Like, the rest of the levels are still good, but that cemetery is, like, they definitely put their best foot forward on the arcade mode by putting the cemetery in there first. So you got the best part of the arcade mode.
Okay. I just wasn't interested.
Oh, and then one thing that I thought was funny too, there is one of the Scratch videos that I hate as well. It's the one where...
Because it's gross or because it's boring? Because
it's boring. It's preachy. It's the one where he's looking at weapons and he's trying to one up the Joker. And it's like, I get it. This is the year. This is the year fucking Gotham Knight.
Dark Knight.
This is the year Dark Knight came out. You know, I get it. Everyone wants to one up a Joker.
Oh, wait, was this Dark Knight Rises at this point?
Probably Rises, but everyone...
Yeah, Dark Knight Rises.
For like the last... I mean, ever since the Dark Knight's come out, everyone's been trying to one-up Joker, or Heath Ledger's Joker, so I mean, you know.
That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, and it's... Some would say impossible.
It is impossible. No one's ever done it, and they need to stop already, because I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
Also, what in unimaginable spread of weapons? Like, 8 of them are knives. And one of them is a gun, which he immediately goes, I hate using this. Why the fuck do you carry it then, dude? Like, I hate pickles. I don't carry a pickle with me everywhere I go and go, fuck, I hate pickles, man. But, you know, sometimes you gotta eat one.
But
you
you're also not a murderous serial killer, as far as I'm aware. So
I mean, but I hate pickles. Like,
it's like Terrifier. He's got that sack full of like weird weapons that he made, and then when all else fails, he had to use that gun on that one lady. So
I was wondering if you meant the Art the Clown movie.
Yes.
Yeah, that movie.
Okay.
And one of the enemies you haven't mentioned yet is you have the guys that if you shine light on them, then they split into other parts. They were kind of annoying to me.
Oh, I thought
them.
That was the most interesting.
It's interesting. I just didn't like.
I got them confused with the bird guys all the time. So the bird guys would come and I would shine a light and getting ready to like move around and then they wouldn't split. And I was like, oh, I guess
same model. So it's fair.
Yeah. But I like the split guys. Those things were cool for, you know, 30 seconds.
Grenade launchers. I thought that was interesting.
Grenade launcher.
Yeah. There's guys that shoot like grenades, like the dart grenades out.
Oh, yeah.
They throw stink bombs.
But. Yeah, and Alan goes, oh, I better avoid those. Didn't hit me once, and I wasn't really even trying, you know?
Like, they didn't do that much damage.
Yeah, for something that like seemed like it should do a lot, they didn't do a lot. The game's too easy.
Besides the arcade mode thing where I died after like 5 or 6 minutes, I disagree. Game is easy, except for that stuff. It was not that easy. Or I just not good at video games. Either one's fair.
It's fine. Like, it's fine that it's that easy. Because I think if it would have been as, I'm sorry, but tedious as the first one, it wouldn't have, like, been so good to play. Because if I would have been dying, I think I died twice throughout the whole thing. And if I would have died as much as I did in Alan Wake 1, I would have had a much different opinion of this game when we're talking about it.
That's fair.
Because the fact that it did take 3 hours to play and it was like sort of a breezy thing with just more lore than gameplay, I think that's where it needed to be for me, because that's what I think is interesting about Alan Wake. Even 2, I'm like, yes, give me the lore. And it does that a lot better, I think, in 2. It's a lot less shooty shoot and a lot more reedy read.
That was my issue with this one. There wasn't enough lore for me.
There wasn't, and it was all subtle. It was too subtle stuff that if you're not in an insane person obsessed with Remedy lore right now, you would have missed 75% of it.
But also at the time, there wasn't that much Remedy lore, because you really think about it, you have Max Payne 1, you have Death Rally, and then you have Alan Wake, and you have this. Like, you don't have a lot of games when this came out.
Yes, Process. But my man, when you play Control and Alan Wake 2, you're going to say, oh, I remember that thing from... And again, I don't know if it's retrofitted or if they had it all worked out, but either way, kudos to Remedy for making stuff that still makes perfect sense 12 years later.
It is scary how much this game, looking back, influences a lot of stuff later on down the line.
Okay, I am excited. You guys renewed my interest to do more. With Remedy, like Quantum Break is on the show later end of this year. Alan Wake 2 is on the show for this year. I mean, you guys got me to want to. And Control's on the next month.
Perfect.
I thought Control was in March. Yeah,
this releases in February. So
okay, all right.
But yeah, I mean, it's coming. Like, you guys got me to want to do more where I wasn't interested.
I again, when I played Alan Wake the first time and this, I was like, whatever. I was like, it's fine, but the gameplay slogged me down. But then after I played Control, I'm like, you know what? I loved Control so much that I was like, all right, well, that Alan Wake remake came out. And I'm like, all right, well, let's give Alan Wake another try. And I'm like, all right, well, this story is pushing me through. And last year, 2023, I played all the way through Alan Wake for the first time. I played all the way through this for the first time. I played all the way through Quantum Break for the first time. I played Alan Wake 2. And I mean, I'm sort of always playing Control. And this year I'm playing Max Payne because, like, I want to see what Alex Casey's up to before that stuff, too. So it's once you get into it, man, you are in it, and you are in it hard.
So wait, is the remaster just a one-to-one?
I think of, so. I don't know.
Of Alan Wake 1.
Of Alan Wake. Oh, yeah, yeah. There's nothing. They did nothing.
That is so wild because we are currently in a time where when they say remake or remaster, shit has changed so much. And Remedy seems like the perfect video game company to do it.
Yeah. If they remake Alan Wake 1 in the engine that they made Alan Wake 2 in, that would be amazing.
I don't want them to remake Alan Wake 1 because of the amount they have to listen to his stupid ass go, I feel like I've been here before. Because you know they're going to add something stupid to the fact that it's going to be a fucking remake.
Stephen King once wrote.
I feel like I've been here before, but everything looks different, almost crisper, newer.
I don't know. It has come to my attention that Remedy did not rename that remaster Alan Wake Reawoken. Like, and it's like, what are we even doing here, Remedy? Like, come on.
Any more things you guys want to say about American Nightmare?
Yeah, there's something very important that we have.
Sure, please.
Michael will hopefully be excited about.
Yes.
This game has a brand new song in it by Poets of the Fall, or Guards of Asgard, whatever you want to call them, called Balance Slave the Demon, I want to say.
Okay.
And there's a little bit of backwards talking in that song. And that backwards talk is very, very important for later down the line. They specifically say that it all will happen again in a town called Ordinary.
Oh. That means nothing to me, and I want to keep it that way.
That means nothing to me, and I played Alan Wake 2.
That is so, like, again, it's so long ago. They talk about Ordinary in Quantum Break as well.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Like, how do they do this? This game came out. When I was playing it, a trophy popped and I'm like, all right, I'm going to look at my trophy was 9 years apart from the time I got my last trophy in American Nightmare to when I played through it. And the
it's
fact
probably that, 12 for me. I don't want to look.
And the fact that everything still goes together. And the old gods of Asgard have a song in this game referencing Ordinary is so incredible. And I've seen people talking shit on Sam Lake for being like sort of up his own ass. And he sort of is, but it's in the best way possible. Like when you can make something like this, you deserve to be up your own ass.
Right?
That's
awesome. Consistent quality.
It's always. It's always great.
Is Quantum Break on Steam?
It should be.
It's $40. It I looked it up.
It goes on sale quite often because I have it. And it's not on the show till November, so don't worry about it.
And it's on Game Pass if you want to get a month of, you know, PC Game Pass.
I already have Game Pass, so I'll just...
Oh, okay. It's on Game Pass then.
Well, can you play Game Pass on the Steam Deck?
No, you have to stream it to the Steam Deck, which is annoying as hell. Yeah,
I'll just buy it on Steam when it goes on sale. Then
the Game Pass version come with the 4 episodes of the quote unquote TV show.
Yes, but you do have to download them, and they are very big.
Oh yeah, that's like 80 gigs by itself.
Yeah, they used to stream. They don't stream anymore, so you do have to download them. It's like a separate download, and it takes up. While I was playing it, it took up most of the memory on my Series S. It's big.
Oh, and I'm watching that video that you posted in the chat, Nate, of the Alan Wake 2 gameplay of what we would have gotten had it came out back then.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
It makes me sad that it never came out back then.
What I like about that video, too, is it's framed as, like, a documentary, like, within the game, too. So it's like, you know, like, it starts, like, with an interview with, like, an NPC, and he's like, Alan Wake, yeah, I heard of him, you know? It's like, he disappeared, and I like that, too. I'm a sucker for like Mafia 3, where it's like, oh, it's a documentary, you know, like telling the story of Leak and Clay.
That's cool. I never played 3. I only played 2. Oh, it's a good game.
Mafia 3 is really good. Yeah.
Do you like horror movies?
Depends.
Hell House LLC.
Okay, oh my god.
How scary is it?
You played Alan Wake 2, right?
Yes.
Old lady jump scare scary.
Oh, I couldn't handle that.
You will have to get a Shudder subscription if you don't have it, though.
You should have a Shudder subscription.
Not if you don't like horror stuff.
Yeah, I don't. I can't do horror because nobody in my house wants to watch horror. I ask my kids all the time. I go, come on, let's watch It. I'm too afraid to watch it by myself. And my 6-year-old goes, no, I don't want to watch this.
So good.
But if I think the first one's on Prime. If you can just watch the first one, if that's enough excuse for you to watch the rest of them. But I will say the third one has probably the best twist ending I've ever seen in a horror movie.
Can I just like Wikipedia it and get the same feeling?
Yes and no.
You don't have a Shudder subscription. You can't watch Mandy. And if you can't watch Mandy, what's the point of Mandy life?
Like I did. That movie's fantastic and you should buy it.
It's so great.
Or anything else about American Nightmare you guys want to mention? Should we go on a shelf stacker box?
We want to talk about Mandy now.
Podcast all about horror stuff.
Parasite Eve is a game that was released in 1999 on the PlayStation.
And never had any sequels, unfortunately. One-time game only. Yep.
It is the sequel.
Webster's Dictionary defines American Nightmare as... No.
Stephen King once said that...
My name is Alan Wake, and I am a writer.
Trapped.
My name is Alan Wake.
This scene to go. And it is really useless.
All right, we're going to go to Shelf Stacker Box. I'm going to go first. I'm going to put this in the stack. I had fun, but it doesn't have enough story for me that makes sense to me since I have not played anything else past this game. So go in the stack. I mean, I had fun, but it's just an Xbox Live Arcade game for me. So, but the more you guys are talking about stuff that I'm going to eventually see later this year, I think I will appreciate the game a lot more. And I'm just sad that 2 never came out until fucking 13 years later.
But when you play 2, you're going to be like, it's so cool that 2 didn't come out for 13 years because it's so cool.
I know it's going to be good. Like, that's why it's on the show. Like, I'm actually going to buy that game probably, unfortunately, for full price unless it goes on sale and people tell me and I go buy it on PSN.
But, dude, the deluxe edition was on sale for like, which gives you the DLC for like $50 like a few weeks ago.
Did I have a PS5, though, at that time?
I think you had a PS5. I think you had gotten your PS5 and it was still on sale.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's what I bought it for. I think I paid like $48 for it.
Hopefully I can get it cheaper. Probably not.
Probably not.
I ain't buying a physical copy of it either, so.
You certainly are not.
I'm so mad that I was like, well, I don't know if I'll like it, so I just bought the base version.
Nate, what about you? Shelf Stacker Box or American Nightmare?
I'm going to put it in the box. I love Alan Wake 2. This just did not have as much meat on the bone. It was a fun playthrough, but I doubt I'll ever return to it.
Okay, that's fair. And Phoebe?
Oh, it's going on the stack. I'm going to play this again at some point.
Okay.
It's short, it's sweet, and the arcade mode is so much fun that I will go back and play it every once in a while.
Okay. And Joe?
Also the stack. It was pretty fun when I played it. I liked it a lot, but it's also a thing, too, where I'm not a big fan of playing games repeatedly unless it's a roguelike. So after the third run, I'm always like, oh, god damn it, it's already over with. So that's also why it's going on the stack. So, yeah.
OK. And Kobe?
I'm shelving it because it's like I have a thing where when I get obsessed and really it's only Remedy right now and Souls games, but like I like to have it all there, like so that I can look at it and say, oh man, what a great thing. And then I can put it in and I can play arcade mode. And just like Catherine, like I don't need to play the story in Catherine again, but I'm going to play that endless stacking game show, whatever that thing is called. I'm going to play the arcade mode in this because it's fun.
I'm so glad I'm meeting another fan of Catherine.
I also like Catherine.
The pizza box is still on my shelf.
I also have the Catherine body pillowcase on my pillow.
Yeah, it's in the pizza box on my shelf.
People think I'm weird because, like, when they're like, oh, what are your favorite games from like the PS3 era? It's Deadly Premonition and Catherine.
Those
and
are good, like, choices.
They're like, I've never heard of either of those. I'm like, well, I got some good news for you, pal. You're about to play two fucking masterpieces.
Fucking love Deadly Premonition.
Deadly Premonition is a great fucking game.
So good.
I can't two say the same for Catherine, but yeah.
Two's not as good, but it's even weirder. Whenever somebody asks me about Deadly Premonition, I'm like, it's like if somebody explained Twin Peaks to an insane Japanese guy who made a game based off of what he thought it was.
And he rewrote the ending.
It's, yeah, Deadly Premonition is so good.
And I never played two.
It tells you the ending in the beginning, and it sticks with it. Yeah, FK in the coffee.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
I never played Deadly Premonition.
Oh, pal, I've got some great...
Sorry, I have tried to play Deadly Premonition, and then the gameplay happens.
The gameplay's not good.
I'm like, man, I don't want to play Deadly Premonition. I just want to do the part
statement
where he goes, Zach, this movie came out in 1967. And I go, oh, yeah, that movie did come out in 1967.
Don't play the PC version, by the way, of Deadly Premonition. Go back and listen to my episode. But when played it, I had a constant, every time I was driving, I had nonstop. I had to pretty much mute the game because it was just unbearable.
To quote my favorite review, Deadly Premonition is the equivalent of making out with someone who's a really good kisser, but they're really ugly.
Hey, that's me.
I was going to say that was me.
Hey, you can find me on TikTok at NateDoesComedy79. I do stand-up comedy, and I post clips there. You can also find me in the Games My Mom Found Discord every once in a while when I remember to use Discord.
Please join Discord, please, people. Come on now, we need more people. And Phoebe, where can people find you at?
Hi, you can find me on Twitch and YouTube as Let's Play Princess, Twitter as the LP Princess. Come join the very small community. I post polls every once in a while asking what I should play next.
Deadly Premonition.
No, right now it's Slay the Princess for the stream game, and then it's going to go to Final Fantasy Rebirth.
Yeah.
Who knows what Slay the Princess is?
It's not Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
It is a choose-your-own-adventure style text. It's got pictures, but it's like one of those visual novel games, but with multiple endings. And there's a reason it's called Slay the Princess. And let's say when you go buy this game on Steam, it is definitely listed as a horror game.
Yeah.
Wink,
it was
wink,
supposed
nudge,
to be
nudge.
Yomiwari, but I played that for one session. I was like, I really want to like this game, but not right now.
This just looks fucking weird as hell.
It gets much weirder than what you're seeing.
Okay. I'm good. Right. Michael, where can people find you at?
I don't think I appreciate you cutting us off from talking about, you know, whatever we feel like talking about. I feel like we're being repressed.
It's a parasite Eve.
But
it's not a stack, it's a shelf.
You can't find me on social media because I don't post on there, but you can listen to my podcasts. Jack Billings Presents Haunted Apartment Complex, which is a scripted comedy podcast set in a weird alternate reality, Reading, Ohio. That's coming to the end of this season, so things are about to get real wacky. Or you can listen to This Bizarre Adventure, which is Bee Highland, a super fan of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, is taking me through episode by episode. It's my first time watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, so... We talk about the show a little bit, but it's mostly just two unhinged leftists bitching about capitalism and the state of America.
I really should add that to my podcast list.
Yeah, I need to add that to you. What episode are you on?
We are on Battle Tendency episode 10 or 11. We're about halfway through the second arc.
Is that why your Skype icon is what it is?
Yes.
Okay. Love it, by the way.
That is, we had an episode where we were talking about that episode, and I'm looking up cosplays, and I'm like, this is the most gorgeous person I've ever seen is doing this cosplay. Yeah. So I have it as my icon on Skype.
So there is no spoilers for JoJo because JoJo is been out for a long time. But you think that's bad? Wait till you get to season 7, where the main villain is the president of the United States.
Wait till you get to the best fight in all of JoJo, a poker game.
That is the best fight in JoJo.
I'm looking forward to every second of it. It's one of the most fun things I've ever seen.
I love JoJo.
You guys made me curious about it, but I've never watched it yet.
If it sells you on it, Mike, that and Kill la Kill are the only animes I've ever gotten into.
We used to do a podcast where we would watch the first episode of a show and the last episode of a show. And the thing that got me into it was watching the first arc of JoJo. We watched the first episode where it's like there are these two like 15-year-old kids sparring over like little kid stuff. And then the last episode of that season starts with a guy falling off of a cliff and chopping his own head off with his hand.
Yep.
And the juxtaposition of those things is so insane that I was like, I need to watch this show.
Okay. You didn't sell me, but all right, I'll take it.
Do it for panty and stocking. See how well that goes.
What? I love that show too.
All right. I think it's time to wrap up this episode. If you enjoyed this show, there are over 550 other episodes of this podcast. You can find everything we do on Podbean. We've done the first Alan Wake a long time ago with not this cast. Go listen to that. And it might be, hey, I have a strange idea. Depending on when you hear this, there might be a recovered episode of the first Alan Wake with this cast.
Oh, yes.
Well, that will happen at some point, I feel like, I'm at this point. I want to give a shout out to my awesome intro and outro, courtesy of Helena at Hell Half Free. You can follow her on TikTok, Instagram, Twitch. You'll see a link tree in the show notes for her stuff. Definitely go check her out. I want to give a shout out to my buddy Bill Tucker, did the MCU movies with me, started his own podcast, Gamer Looks at 40. Definitely go support him. And check out Nomads of Fantasy, another podcast that I work with. And oh yeah, please join Discord. We've been talking about it tons of times. If you want to support the show, we do a Patreon. We'll dog vote in our Patreon polls. Every month we have different polls. You can affect the show. Sometimes we have two polls, like we do right. And well, not the time you're hearing this, but so definitely go and support the show. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, TikTok, which is mostly squirrel videos, but just follow me on TikTok anyway. It makes me happy. And YouTube audio only. And I think that's everything I need to say. So we will see you guys all next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye. See you in the town of Old Harry.